Martin Horwood joins me on the line now. He's the MP for Cheltenham, or at least he was until Parliament was dissolved a few weeks ago. Martin, how does it feel walking around Westminster knowing that it's still all to play for, knowing that there is a slim possibility that you might not return?
Well, there's a real possibility I might not return. It's going to be a tough race here between myself and the Conservative candidate. The Tories, as people can see from the huge posters, are spending a lot of money on this campaign. And we know it's going to be quite a tough fight. And it is really a two-horse race here between myself and the Conservative candidate. Greens and Labour and other parties are given about 100 to 1 by the bookies. So, I'm quite well aware that it's going to be a tough fight and I can't take it for granted.
A lot of people will be familiar with your policies, but for those who aren't, can you just give us a quick recap?
OK, well, in the last Parliament, we obviously promised quite a lot of things, most of which we've been able to keep. We promised everyone earning £10,000 out of income tax. We promised a pupil premium to support the least well-off kids in schools, which is currently giving £1 million a year to schools in parts of Cheltenham. We promised a pension lock for pensioners. We promised to spend more on the NHS, to give 0.7% of our national income to international development assistance. That's the first time that's been achieved in 40 years. We promised to promote renewable energy and green jobs, and we've nearly trebled renewable energy, and we'll probably deliver about 200,000 green jobs. So all of those things are things we've achieved in government. But the focus of the manifesto that was published today is around education and really guaranteeing funding from nursery right through to 19, and making sure that every class is taught by a qualified teacher, that we promote recruitment and retention of teachers, that we allow funding, something like £2.5 billion of extra funding to bring in more extra teachers, to allow smaller classes, more one-to-one tuition, and expand early years tuition. So it's a really important commitment to education by the Lib Dems, and we can do that because we are aiming to balance the books by 2018, but we're also saying that we'll raise a bit more money from those with the broadest shoulders through things like our mansion tax on properties worth more than £2 million, which the Tories haven't committed to, so they will inevitably have to cut deeper and faster.
In 2010, party leader Nick Clegg did very well in the first ever televised debates. It led to a rise in the party on opinion polls and in member numbers. What's your opinion of that fiasco been this year?
I think the broadcasters did make a bit of a mess of it, actually. I think they should have been tougher with the politicians and not allowed it to become a great negotiation. It seemed to me pretty obvious that you should have had separate debates for Scotland and for Wales, because we couldn't vote for Nicola Sturgeon or Leanne Wood. So we should have had the five main English party leaders, and then the maybe the three parties that have the biggest representation in Parliament, which is ourselves, the Labour Party and the Conservative Party, and then maybe a double-headed debate between Ed Miliband and David Cameron, who are the two most likely people to be Prime Minister. But actually, they allowed it to become completely tangled up, and I think the result wasn't very good.
You've been MP in Cheltenham for two terms now. That's 10 years. You've changed a lot, but what's your proudest achievement been?
I think possibly defending the maternity unit, actually. I think that mattered a lot to people. It was the right to be born as a Cheltonian, really. And we ran a good campaign. It was in the face, at that time, actually, of Labour's mismanagement of NHS finances, which were leading to 13 possible cuts and closures across the local NHS in Cheltenham and Gloucestershire. And we defended A&E, but we also defended the maternity unit, which would have closed outright if we hadn't defended that.
And I suppose the next question, the big one and the one on voters' minds, will be, what's next?
Well, what's next is difficult to read, isn't it? Because we've got an electoral system that delivers you a bit of a lottery of a result. It looks like the votes are going to split roughly between Labour and Conservative on an even basis, with the other parties sharing the remainder of the votes. But what that's going to mean in seats, I don't know. I think it's very unlikely to be either David Cameron or Ed Miliband commanding a majority. So it's really a question of what kind of coalition or what kind of parliament you want and who you want to have influence in that parliament. And I would argue that having a strong, moderate Green Party like the Liberal Democrats, having a strong voice, is the best kind of parliament to have, not one that's influenced, for instance, by UKIP or perhaps by the SNP influencing Labour.